You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
United States, Donald Trump.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much, ladies and
gentlemen. Dug up an old quote from Donald Trump talking about a large-scale terror attack 19 months before 9/11. In his 2000 book, The America We Deserve, Trump wrote, "I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the 1993 Trade Center look like little kids playing with firecrackers." Trump also mentioned the mastermind of the attack, writing, quote, "One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's on to a new enemy and a new crisis."
Wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Is this really Trump before 9/11? Have you read this?
It's 2000 in his book.
Are we making this? Somebody, did you make this up, Mika?
Nick.
I did.
Did you make this up?
Nick, tell us it's over, right?
Because will you
wrong
stop?
About everything.
Mika, stop. Guys.
I think it's over.
What's that? What's the rage here? Will you stop?
No, it's cute. I think it's cute.
Well, really quickly, though. I mean, so Willie, that was
2000.
In a book he wrote in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, it was published in 2000. He could have written in 1999, probably.
Exactly. He might have been more precious.
So he predicted, basically predicted the attacks from Osama bin Laden.
Hey, YouTube fans, I'm Luke Russert. Thanks for checking out our MSNBC channel. Subscribe by clicking right here and click any of the videos over here to watch the latest breaking news, mini documentaries, conversations from Shift, and other digital exclusives. Check it out.
Okay, was Donald Trump right, or at least maybe half right, quarter right? Donald Trump igniting a firestorm for saying this.
"I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down. And I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down. Thousands of people were cheering. So something's going on. We got to find out what it is."
Investigative reporter Mark Mueller dug deep into the story. The results of his investigation just published in the Star Ledger and on NJ.com. Mark Mueller goes on the record. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Greta. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you're the one who's going to tell us, was Donald Trump correct? Thousands and thousands, yes or no, or maybe?
Our inquiry found that Donald Trump was not correct. We found evidence of two small celebrations that took place, one on a rooftop, one on a street. And we found no video evidence of other celebrations. I think we can pretty definitively say that Donald Trump was wrong when he says that there were thousands of people. The problem that we're having right now is that many of Trump's supporters are sort of hijacking the news and saying, the Star Ledger and NJ.com published this story, and they're saying that Trump has been vindicated. We found no evidence to support what he said on that day.
All right, so he is incorrect as to the numbers.
Yeah.
Is he correct as to the celebration by some of in Jersey City, I guess we should say that, the building is coming down 9/11?
Yeah, well, partly. I mean, he said he saw it on television. We couldn't find any television evidence of it, but we did find a retired police captain said he cleared a rooftop on Tunnelly Avenue in Jersey City. There were 20 to 30 people at that location. And he said they were clearly celebrating. He couldn't be confused about it. They were smiling, they were dancing. And separately, two men who...
Donald Trump, never one to shy away from controversial comments, isn't starting now.
The reporters are calling all day, all night. They want to find out, did Trump make a mistake?
Now, Trump is saying he watched from his Manhattan apartment as people jumped from the Twin Towers on 9/11.
I have a window in my apartment
that specifically was aimed at the World Trade Center because of the beauty of the whole downtown Manhattan. And I watched as people jumped, and I watched the second plane come in.
While people were seen jumping from the towers that day, Trump's apartment in Midtown is roughly 4 miles from where the World Trade Center's towers stood.
Many people jumped, and I witnessed it. I watched that.
Trump also stubbornly defending his widely debunked claim that there were large crowds in New Jersey celebrating the day of the 9/11 attack, pointing to a line in a Washington Post story published a week later that said law enforcement had detained people allegedly seen cheering on rooftops in Jersey City.
Holding tailgate style. Tailgate. You know what that means? Tailgate. That means football games, Ohio State, thousands of people in parking lots, on roofs.
While government officials and even the reporter who wrote that story say the investigation uncovered no such celebration, Trump points to his Twitter followers as evidence to the contrary.
So all of a sudden, I'm getting all of these tweets. I saw it. I was there. I was this. I saw it.
The GOP frontrunner's dubious claims don't appear to be damaging him in the eyes of voters. A new Quinnipiac University poll shows Trump leading the field with 25% support in Iowa. But he has a new chief rival, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, close behind at 23%. Doubling his support from a month ago. Dr. Ben Carson rounds out the top three at 18%, dropping 10 points from October. So far, Trump has offered only kind words toward Cruz. But he's hinted that might change if Cruz started to rise.
And Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, has been so nice to me, I can't hit him. I may have to if he starts getting, like, really close. I may have to.
BuzzFeed dug up an old quote from Donald Trump talking about a large-scale terror attack 19 months before 9/11. In his 2000 book, The America We Deserve, Trump wrote, "I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the 1993 Trade Center look like little kids playing with firecrackers." Trump also mentioned the mastermind of the attack, writing, quote, "One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's on to a new enemy and a new crisis."
Wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really Trump before 9/11? Have you read this?
It's 2000 in his book.
Are we making this? Somebody, did you
Nick.
Make this up, Mika?
Nick.
I did.
Did you make this up?
Nick, tell us it's over, right? Because
will you
wrong
stop?
About everything.
Mika, stop. God,
I think it's over.
What's that? What's the rage here? Will you stop
picking
on him?
I think it's cute.
Well, really quickly, though. I mean, so Willie, that was
2000.
In a book he wrote in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, it was published in 2000. He could have written in 1999, probably.
Exactly. He might have been a little more precious.
So he predicted the attacks from Osama bin Laden.
Hey, YouTube fans, I'm Luke Russer. Thanks for checking out our MSNBC channel. Subscribe by clicking right here and click any of the videos over here to watch the latest breaking news, mini documentaries, conversations from Shift, and other digital exclusives. Check it out.
Donald Trump is refusing to back down from his claim that he saw thousands of Muslims in New Jersey cheering the destruction of the Twin Towers on 9/11. Now Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York at the time, is dismissing Trump's claim.
We did have some reports.
Yes.
Of people celebrating that day,
yes,
while the towers were coming
but
out.
But if there had been thousands
that,
of
I
people,
think I would have
you
known
would
that
have
for
known
sure.
That. Yes. So Donald Trump is therefore not telling the truth.
Well, I think what he's doing is exaggerating, right? People were celebrating. He's right about that.
But you're saying a handful of people.
I didn't see any evidence of thousands, nor have I seen it since then, of thousands of people.
Donald Trump has not addressed Giuliani's comments, but is instead tweeting out demands of apologies from people who doubt him. In his most recent tweet, Trump shared an edited 2001 MTV video clip to try and convince his followers that he's right. The video features radio host Curtis Sliwa commenting about reports of people celebrating the attacks.
Calls started coming in from people troubled in the fact that they had just ridden down Main Street in South Paterson and hours before had seen what appeared to be a large group of people celebrating, cheering when they had actually heard that the World Trade Center had struck, and more importantly, continuing to cheer when they heard that the World Trade Center, both towers, had imploded.
Sliwa rejected Trump's claim and responded to his post saying, "No apology from me. This video is edited. I've been very consistent in what I've been saying." During MTV's original 2001 report, a young woman described seeing celebrations on 9/11. MTV recently caught up with that same woman and asked her again what she saw.
"What I saw that night is not anything any different than would have happened on any other summer night, on any other day where school was let out early. These were kids acting out because they had the time, because they could."
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
But I don't recall them or hearing the kids say, "Burn America." If anything, they were probably saying, "Burn something," but not "Burn America."
Donald Trump has been pressed about this over and over again, but he is...
Trump joins us now. Sir, you were listening to that. What's your response for Jeb Bush?
Well, first of all, I think he's a very nice person. I have to say that. And, you know, he gave a speech at one point, and he also, during the debates, he said, "The country was safe under my brother." And I said, just very nicely, under a very little program, I said, "Well, wait a minute. It wasn't safe because the World Trade Center fell down under your brother's regime. So the world wasn't safe. The country wasn't safe. We had the biggest catastrophe and the greatest catastrophe we've ever had in history under your brother's reign." So, you know, he could have said maybe safe since. But, of course, then we went into the war in Iraq, and that was a disaster, complete disaster. It cost thousands of lives and everything else. But the fact is, Stuart, he said the country was safe. Well, the country wasn't safe because the World Trade Center had just fallen down.
Well, what was George Bush's responsibility for 9/11, other than the fact that he'd been the president for 9 months?
Well, as Harry Truman says, the buck stops here, okay? And I will say that, you know, in looking back and remembering, having a good memory, you had George Tenet, the head of the CIA, and he said he knew in advance that there would be an attack. He said that. Then you had the FBI, the NSC, and the CIA that weren't talking to each other. Do you remember that scandal where they hated each other and they were all jealous and lots of problems? And George Tenet actually was the director of the CIA. But the CIA, the NSC, and the FBI, they wouldn't talk to each other. They hated each other. And I'm saying to myself, what kind of management is that? I remember when it was happening, and they weren't able to compare notes. So you had that going wrong. And, you know, I mean, you would have been able, if you read my book, which was in 2000, I actually said that Osama bin Laden, who was a well-known terrorist at that time, I wrote the one political book, and I said Osama bin Laden's going to try and come in and do some big damage. That was 3 years before. So obviously, if I know about it, they know about it. They should have done something about Osama bin Laden.
Well, does Bill Clinton, President Clinton, does he have some responsibility for 9/11? Because he was the president for 8 years before George Bush.
Yes, I think he does. But I think they both do. But you can't say that the country was safe. I mean, how can you say the country was safe? He's just forgetting about one incident, and that was a big incident, and he didn't make that clear either. So he said that, and look, this all started about, I did this small show, and I had mentioned about, you know, the World Trade Center coming down, and frankly, I didn't think anything would be made of it. I didn't think it was a big statement at the time, but I said, well...
Did you plan to make that statement? No, I didn't plan it.
What happened is that Jeb Bush started talking about it, and instead of just letting it go, he started talking about it. And now everybody virtually, Stuart, is agreeing with me because, I mean, let's face it, you can't say the country was safe when the World Trade Center came down during his regime. Now, was Clinton possibly also guilty? Yeah, sure. He should have, you know, maybe been more vigilant. And he actually said he knew about Osama bin Laden. I knew about Osama bin Laden because I wrote about him in my book, I think 19 months before the World Trade Center came down. So,
is your fight with Jeb Bush over?
Oh, I have no fight with Jeb Bush. I think he's a nice person. I have no fight with Jeb Bush. I mentioned to somebody, unimportant, but I mentioned to somebody that the World Trade Center came down during the Bush thing, so he has to take a certain responsibility for that. I think you would agree. By the way, everybody agrees with me now. I think that, frankly, Jeb shouldn't have brought it up. But I have no fight with Jeb Bush because I like him.
Do you now have a fight with Bill Clinton and or Hillary Clinton? Because you just said that Bill Clinton has some responsibility for 9/11.
Well, he actually said that he knew that Osama bin Laden was around, but they didn't want to attack him at that time. And in all fairness to him, by that time, he didn't knock down the World Trade Center. So they would have had to go in and, you know, get somebody that it would be wonderful if you could read minds. But if you read my book, I actually did. I did have the best vision of anybody because I said Osama bin Laden should be attacked, essentially. But you should read that, written in 2000 and written about, I guess, about 3 years before the event took place. And I talk all about Osama bin Laden. He was a very well-known terrorist at the time. And actually, they read it on one of the shows today, and they couldn't believe because it did have vision. And so it's nice to have vision. What can I tell you?
Now, there's a lot of speculation today about Joe Biden. The speculation is that he is going to run and that he will announce very soon. How would you rate him as a potential opponent?
Well, I think he's fine. Look, he's a vice president, but he's got a faulty stats on his side because the country is not doing well. We just, you know, with a gang that couldn't shoot straight. We have $19 trillion in debt. We have real unemployment, and you cover this better than anybody. But if you add all of the people that have given up looking for jobs, as you know, that no longer fit into that beautiful statistic of 5.2 or 5.3%, you probably have unemployment of 22% or something. So, look, the country is doing poorly. Our military, we don't win anymore.
We don't
win against ISIS.
You would beat Joe Biden easily?
Well, I think I would. Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I don't know that he's going to do it. I would think he wouldn't do it. Now, I might be wrong about that. I would think he wouldn't do it because I think it's a very hard road for him at this point. It's late, and I think it's a hard road, but everybody's telling me he's going to.
With your Republican opponents, you've gone straight after him, face to face, gone right at him. Would you do the same with Joe Biden?
Yes, I would. I mean, I would just, by the way, I'm always fair, and I'm very much a counterpuncher. You know, with the Republican opponents, I only hit after they hit me. And some of them I haven't hit at all. I have great relationships with many of them, but some of them, I mean, Perry from Texas and Lindsey Graham and some of these guys, they came at me for no reason. I mean, they were my Rand Paul. And the good news is everybody that's hit me has gone down, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, that's what we need for the country.
Can I ask you about Secret Service protection?
Yes.
I believe you asked for it. Can you tell us the nature of the threat that you received?
Well, it's not so much. Look, every sort you've probably seen. Last night, I had 8,000 people in, and it was. I mean, the place was absolutely packed in South Carolina. We have, average crowds of many, many thousands of people. In Dallas, I had 20,000. In Mobile, Alabama, I had 35,000 people. In Oklahoma, I had 20,000 people. And, you know, I go up to New Hampshire, where, by the way, a great poll just came out. The Boston Globe just released their poll, and it's a tremendous poll. I only say it's tremendous because I won. You know, I wouldn't say it was tremendous if somebody else won.
Is the threat, do you think, from a terror group?
It could be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I tell you what, there's such love in these rooms when I go in, or the arenas, there's such love. But, you know, we think it's necessary. And by the way, they think it's necessary because the crowds, I get the largest crowds by far of anybody, including Bernie Sanders, by the way. And they want to have, you know, they need it. You need some protection. Okay. There's love in the room. There's great love in the room. But when you have that many people, you need something.
Now,
this is one of the tactics that Donald Trump uses to back up a lot of his claims.
Some people would say, don't do that.
A lot of people are very skeptical.
A lot of people said I won.
One of those people is Alex Jones. So who exactly is Alex Jones?
I'm a human, and I'm coming.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Folks, I've been told this by high-up folks. They said, listen, Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
He's, let's call it, emotional.
And we're such zombies, we're such self-centered crap, that we don't even notice hell itself rising up against us.
And he has a huge following. And now with Donald Trump's blessing...
I just want to finish by saying your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down.
He's in the spotlight. This is the story about how Alex Jones was plucked from the niche corners of the internet reserved for conspiracy theorists and thrust on stage into the national spotlight. Alex Jones was born in Dallas, Texas in 1974, where he had a self-described all-American life. His father was a dentist, his mom a homemaker. He was in high school when he became
a conspiracy theorist.
Like a lot of teenagers do, he read a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which was the book that politicized him.
That's the author John Ronson. Back in the 90s...
I wrote a book called Them, which kind of gave the world Alex Jones.
Alex honed his voice as the libertarian conspiracy theorist at Community Access Radio in Austin.
Alex balks at the term conspiracy theorist because he sees it as a term of mockery and abuse. He would just call himself like an independent investigator.
It's also where Austin filmmaker Richard Linklater noticed him, casting Jones in his 2001 film, Waking Life.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
Jones is also a big 9/11 truther, and he was one of the first people to say 9/11 was an inside job.
We're going to be talking about the attack last Tuesday on the World Trade Center being a federal operation.
It resulted in dozens of radio stations across America to drop his show. But Jones didn't let that stop him, and for the next 15 years he continued his conspiracy crusade, calling stories like the San Bernardino shooting, the Sandy Hook massacre, and even the Apollo moon landing false flags.
Alex had a kind of template, which was any major event was a false flag operation. It was always an inside job. It was never the way that the mainstream media portrayed it.
He spun those theories and many others into a miniature media empire. His Alex Jones Show is now broadcast on more than 100 radio stations nationwide, a show that he simulcasts on his YouTube channel, which has nearly 2 million subscribers. And his website, Infowars.com, gets anywhere from 1 to 4 million unique users every month, according to ComScore. Even with those numbers online, Alex Jones, his show, and his opinions were far from mainstream, until Donald Trump exposed them to a much wider audience.
The connections between Alex and Trump are legion at this point.
Donald Trump, I hope you can help uncripple America. Thank you so much, sir.
The president has echoed Alex Jones several times.
The first one that people noticed was a speech that Trump gave in California saying that there was no drought.
And I've heard this from other friends of mine. They're taking the water and shoving it out to sea.
The government should seize the water.
Now they're trying to protect a certain kind of 3-inch fish.
And it turns out that came straight from Alex, right down to how many inches the fish was.
Then there was this.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are.
Getting your head around the fact that the mainstream media is the enemy of the American people.
On Twitter, Jones took credit for coining the phrase in 2015. Trump has retweeted senior InfoWars editor Paul Joseph Watson, who goes by Prison Planet, and tweeted out an InfoWars link as well. Neither Jones nor the White House responded to requests for comment. Overall, Ronson says that Alex Jones has played his card supporting Donald Trump perfectly.
Alex has always caveated his, affection and admiration for Donald Trump with, but we're independents, we'll pull out whenever we want to.
So he may be loud, and he may have some wild ideas, but as long as he's hitching his wagon to Donald Trump, Alex Jones will continue to remain in the spotlight in American media.
This is Maria Laquita. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.